This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, hello everyone. It's the Instant Match Reaction. I'm joined by Bailey after Liverpool beat Burnley 3-1. Bailey, that was... I talk about the recency bias a lot on the channel. That felt loads better because of, I mean, ultimately the results, and we've said this for weeks, the results are far more important, particularly given the spell of games that we're in and what have you. But Liverpool kind of, we had to go one down to really turn it on. And once we did, the game ends up fairly comfortable by the end. You know, a couple of goal advantage, nice.
Yeah, no, it was nice. I said to Matty at half-time when we went outside, I was like, I could, back in the past, you'd sort of, you'd go into a game at 0-0 and you'd be like, oh, because you get the tense. And I was like, this Liverpool this season, I'm like, I have faith that we'll get a goal, even if it's just one at the death. And I was sort of like, it's a different Liverpool where you can go in at 0-0 and sort of come back and be like, we've got this, you know, we're all right, we're good.
It was a different test though, because you're right, I kind of share that sentiment. We've eased our way into games a lot, and it's far more pleasant when we get that breakthrough in the first half. But you do trust that we'll get a bit better. And the thing I mentioned on my match reaction was, because of the nature of the Everton results, and because we're all fearful of everything at all times at the moment, there's a little party that won't help but think, is it's magnificent, the most magnificent end to a derby match in the history of derby matches.
Yep.
But there is a part of you that does also go, took to the 96th minute, and took a goalkeeper error to keep us on that, you know, to win that game for us. You don't want Liverpool to be on a lot of diminishing returns where every game becomes harder and harder, because if you're going on that path, it means that inevitably you're going to stop when you're going to draw games, then you're going to lose games. That's that you're on a negative spiral. It was great for us to just, and particularly actually from going a goal down as well, because that could have been that. The other side went, no. Mm-hmm. No. When this is not us doing that, we're just going to flex our muscles. So to be able to score the three goals, but I actually think in coming back from a goal down, it showed another level of depth to what we've
massively done. And I mean, like the style of goal as well that we concede is sort of like you see in the story of the match, we were sort of, oh, he saved it, that's a great save. It takes about three deflections, ends up in the back of the net, and you're like, well, that is the most shithousey way to concede a goal, and it's just diminishing for any team. But to then kick on instantly, come straight back, get a goal through James Milner of all people. And then just completely, after we got that one, I don't think there was any sort of nerves of, oh, this is going to go to the death here. And it was the law of diminishing returns. I didn't feel like we had that in that game. And it just felt like, as soon as we got the first, the ascendancy was there, and it could have been four. Like we were, after the three, we were like, yeah, let's go for the four.
We had that. There was that little spell that ends with Naby Keita having the little back heel flick that gets cleared off the line. Yep. And it did feel like we were dominating at that point. And that's another thing that was really interesting, was you mentioned that James Milner goal. And once again, James Milner yet to be on the losing side when scoring in a Premier League game in his career, which is astounding. But apparently, was it Jack Cork, did they say?
Yep.
It was the same. Yeah, in your face, Jack Cork. you know, having a player like that, with that level of experience, with the quality to grab the game, and he turns that game. Because massively, if we don't score that, the little spell that we mentioned, that is just one of utter frustration, not one of, this is coming, we're going to score, we're going to score again. So all the credit in the world for Milner.
Yeah, massive. And like, if the style of goal is not too dissimilar from the Arsenal goal. I mean, comes to me in the on just the edge of the box in the centre of the pitch, and it's sort of like all our attacking players are wide, they're expecting a ball to come in the box, and it's sort of like you see it fall to Milner, and I didn't expect him to score it, but he's done it now against Arsenal, a massively crucial goal, and now against Burnley, and it's sort of everyone sort of talks about him being a brilliant midfielder, controls the game, but nobody really knows him for having finishing in the locker, especially in a game that's so crucial as that, especially in the finish that he pulls out. It's massive.
Considering that he plays the end of the game at left back as well, and he shows that what an important player James Milner is. And we were talking like a week. He gets forgotten about very quickly because all of a sudden Fabinho's in, Naby Keita's coming back, and Gini Wijnaldum's had a really good season as well. And we know Henderson's going to get game time, club captain, etc. And you go, oh God, where does James Milner come in? Well, look, James Milner's showing his worth. Another player I thought though, and he's integral in and around that spell as well. In fact, actually probably for the whole game, probably our most consistently good player from minute one to minute 94 or whatever was Naby Keita. He has a massive hand in that Milner goal.
Huge.
He picks the ball up actually a little bit more advanced than he had been at times during the game. He drives towards the box and he's got the wherewithal and the ability just to hold on, trust his ability. Mm-hmm. Divock Origi makes a very smart little run towards him, lays it off. And so, Origi gets credit, goal and assist now in the last two games.
Yeah.
but Naby Keita, I thought that was the first real performance from him that you could hold up and go, that's what we've been looking for, that's what we've bought.
Yeah, I think that's the key takeaway. Apart from Alisson, sort of another fantastic game from, I think that was the cornerstone to this game, of sort of the thing that we've learned. And I mean, you talk about Milner not finding a place in the midfield, but like you look at the fume that's gone around across our own fans on Twitter and social media about how poor the midfield has been in Europe, and how it's just not working. But Milner's been in those midfields, and you look back and you look at the performances that he's putting in the Premier League consistently, and the likes of Fabinho coming in, Keita coming in, finally seeing some nice rotation there. For Keita to come in and get a first start that I was surprised that he was in. I thought we'd see Fabinho in again, but it was a nice addition, and I think this will do wonders for his confidence, wonders for his choice, his chances of getting picked, because I mean we talk endlessly about needing a creative, driven midfielder, and to actually put it on paper and prove you can be that player, it's going to be massive for us.
Well, when you consider that he basically played in a two with Henderson as well, so he's very, very deep, and I was saying I wanted to see him a bit more advanced on the pitch, and Chris at the time points out, you don't want to lose him driving from deep.
Yeah.
When he did start to do that, when he started to back himself, I've equated this to Liverpool players over the years, and a number of them, and I always use the example of the Incredibles and the moment where Dash realises he can run on water. Yeah. It's that moment. If you think you're good, you know you're good, and there's a moment where, and it happened for Kate in that game, it lightly accelerated, and he's passed his man, and it was a bit like kind of like going, oh wow, I'm well better than all of yous. And he started to do that time and time again. And you're dead right. It's exactly what we've been lacking. And whether he'll be exactly, I don't think he's exactly Oxlade-Chamberlain shaped.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could also see his ability, when we need him to anchor a little bit.
Yeah.
But he looks absolutely made for the term box to box.
Yeah, I was actually about to say that. I mean, you do reference Ox, and sort of he is the out and out 10 that we're desiring. I think Naby offers more than that, in a sense of, like you say, he was playing as a DM, playing as a 10 at times, and it's the fact that not just his dribbling ability, I mean, his touch was fantastic, the way he was taking players out of the game when it was passed to him, even in the air, sort of, he's not the tallest guy, but it's just his awareness of players around him was fantastic. His distribution was brilliant. Mm-hmm. He is, like you say, a typified number 8 role that you could ask for. And I mean, I hope we see a lot more of him.
Absolutely, and you think about that, we've been saying this for weeks, he's got that shot in him as well, and he hasn't scored it yet, but he's going to come.
Yeah.
It forced a phenomenal save out of Joe Hart, which we all know he can doubt was right, so that was always going to happen. But he gets across, he has that little back heel flick late on as well. Yep. If he scores any one of them, you're talking about a complete midfield performance. And we'll caveat that with it being Burnley, of course, and look, I think they put up a really good fight, and they'll be disappointed not to have held on to the lead, of course, but the second bottom in the league for a reason going into that game. They're not great, so we still need to see more challenges. But I compare Keita to Fabinho, and you go back to the Belgrade Anfield game, and you go back to the Cardiff Anfield game. Yes, he needs to. I need to see that performance replicated against the top side.
Yeah.
But at this stage of the season, Keita was fine. Mm. He starts the season reasonably well.
Mm.
he was crap against Napoli. He's then had that injury spell, and I think he's kind of gotten a lot worse in our minds a little bit for that. Mm-hmm. So just to be able to hold that, say, to have that performance, we can go, okay, I now have a much greater idea of what Keita can bring.
Yeah.
It's now on him to just make sure that he does that week in, week out. And you can see him getting better and better.
Yeah.
And better.
I mean, we had this back to right back to PSG when we were in the office, and me, Ben and Tom were looking, we got the starting 11 cards out, and we were like, right, this is going to be the midfield. We didn't pay credence to really Fabinho or Keita, mm-hmm. who are our most expensive midfielders that we've bought, which is mental. Yeah. And they offer something so different. I mean, they both had so much promise, Keita especially, with the year-long sort of build-up that he got.
Yeah.
And because of his horrible injury and Fabinho like not suiting the 4-3-3 too much, to finally see Fabinho have a brilliant game against Everton mm-hmm. and see Naby coming and have a brilliant game against Burnley, these are our two big star signings bar Alisson that are now finally coming. This is why we're here.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It's brilliant.
Absolutely. And, you know, the midfield, I think, has been the big criticism so far this season. And even though I think Gini's had a very good season, I think Milner's had a very good season, I think Henderson's been subpar. Mm. But you're right in so much as we've spent £100 million on midfield. We were looking to spend another, 40, £50 million pound potentially on Fekir, potentially to go into midfield. Yep. We'll never know now, of course. So we were clearly looking to revolutionise what we were doing in the engine room. And now, as I say, we're starting to see it. The next step is Fabinho and Keita in the midfield.
Yeah.
And I said this weeks ago, the team that starts the season is not the team that Liverpool are going to have in the running, because we saw that last season as well. Yeah. We made changes. Players got better, they fitted in better, they did better things. Mm-hmm. We have yet to see, I think, Liverpool's best article. We've seen our best. I think we know what our best back five is largely, and I think chopping and changing of the formation. But at the minute, you would still, if the chips were down, you'd still say Firmino, Salah, Mane is your best three. But that midfield three, having that bit more creativity and having a little bit more bite. Again, this is what this game hopefully will be. We'll be able to look back at it and go, that was when Naby really started his Liverpool career. Great to see Daniel Sturridge have an impact. Great to see Origi having a little bit of an impact, albeit maybe not quite the revolution.
I think after the goal, everyone was sort of expecting to come on and get a hat-trick and be like, well, this is Divock's. Divock's coming in instead of Firmino now, because he obviously had that glorious thing. But it was nice to see him get some minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And Shaqiri getting another one as well, and it's these little moments in the game. The biggest blow, in fact, we'll go just touch on quickly, of course, losing Joe Gomez in the first half. He's going for a scan tomorrow, apparently. Klopp said he didn't seem particularly upbeat about
it. Didn't look good, did it?
I mean, it was fortunate that it was Burnley in that. It was a good game for Trent to come into, I thought, using his creativity.
And he was looking massively influential.
Well, look at him and Shaqiri on the free kick that leads to Van Dijk, that leads to Firmino, of course. Mm-hmm. But if we were to lose Gomez off the bat, that has the potential to take the shine off what we've done there.
I mean, Tom said himself, in the story of the match, that could be the worst player to lose in that situation, because, I mean, your front three, you've got Divock can come in, now he's had a goal. Sturridge is still a fine player to push. You can push Firmino and Mane or Salah around on the wings. Gomez is our, Tob said it himself, probably you can argue one of our best centre-back, our best centre-back. I mean, he's him and Van Dijk's partnership has been so crucial to sturdying that defence and just and going away with these fears of what we mentioned earlier about going to a 0-0 last season. We'd have been terrified. Whereas now, because of Joe Gomez, he's come in at 20 years old and been like, look, I'm the man. And it's just a shame, because he missed a lot of last season with injury, and he's just finding brilliant form. You'd hate for him to now take time out. And
I think the good thing is we're okay. We're in better shape, I think, we've been in previous years. I mean, the fact that Dejan Lovren, we don't quite know what's going on with Dejan Lovren, I guess ill still. Weird. But, you know, Lovren, we know Lovren can come back in, and we know we've got Trent for right back. And if we need to, Nathaniel Klein, you can do worse options than putting Nathaniel Klein to rotate Trent. Of course, you know, England right back, Nathaniel Klein 18 months ago or whatever. But no, it is, I think, because we're all just so made up with Gomez that I think everyone will be crossing their fingers and toes tonight, hoping that he is all right. But just brilliant. I mean, the fact that it was another one of those examples, Burnley, where, you know, Man City went and did the business, and they ended up making, Watford gave them a bit of a bloody nose at the end of that game, of course. But they got through it, and it means that, you know, the gap goes to 5 points, and Liverpool are then playing catch up this time around. And it's just another example where I'm sure, though, I've seen a couple of Man City fans on social media who were just like, oh my God, I can't, why Liverpool's still here? They need to fuck off. Yeah. This is what we're doing. You know, we're now heading into a weekend with Bournemouth away. Look, we're terrible at early kickoffs. It's a long way to travel. Bournemouth, of course, there's problems, so it will be a very, very tricky game. Mm. But we've now played the game such that we get to lay the gauntlet down for Man City this weekend.
Yep.
If we can go and get 3 points against Bournemouth, we'll go top of the league, and then we'll be saying to Man City, go and beat Chelsea. Yeah. Go and see if you can beat Chelsea. And Chelsea, on the flip side, it was a comment by from Ben Kelly as well, from one of our good mates on the channel, mm-hmm. who said, you know, this is Chelsea's almost chance to keep themselves in the title race, so there's a real impetus for them to go and do something, having dropped more points again. Like, so look, Liverpool have done what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. They've actually done it with slightly more style this time around, ultimately. Massively. So, you know, we can go in with smiles, we can go in take a deep breath, and we can actually look forward to the weekend.
Yeah, and I think it's perfect. Like we were going back saying about Fabinho had a fantastic game, and it's Everton, Naby's had a fantastic game. Now, I'd like this weekend to be where we see them both together.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see Fabinho in the DM, whether it's a 4-2-3-1 or not, and Naby in the same team, because I personally think, and I think a lot of fans think, that is how we should hopefully end up. Mm-hmm. Whether we sign someone in January or not, that's nobody knows. But with current players we've got, our best 11 on paper is having Fabinho in the DM with utilising Naby's sort of number 8 role. And mm-hmm. I'd like to see at the weekend both of those players on the pitch just to see it.
Like, well, if it clicks and it's brilliant, then look, you
it's
want
the blueprint,
it could
isn't
be
it?
You know, you could be leading towards Napoli. You could be. The thing is, we've got there's a lot of games coming up, and you just want as many of your players in as good form as possible, and you want to have as many. You want to be able to get as many players right in the right headspace playing together. So I completely agree with you. I want to see what our final form looks like and when it starts to take shape. Mm. Right, Chris will be doing the final word show tomorrow. So if you want more analysis of this, you can get it. We've got you covered on the RedmenTV.com. It's about 60 minutes getting into it, getting into the nuts and bolts of this game, and a whole host more. There'll be the Man of the Match podcast as well. It is free for the first month. And the best thing as well is that if you leave a decent comment on things we haven't discussed or a question you want us to cover, it'll be pulled into the final word show. We do that every week as well off the back of these. So please do leave your comments below, or if you really want to get in touch a bit quicker and explain the process, at the RedmenTV on Twitter. Other than that, thank you very much, Bailey.
You're
that
welcome.
Has been very, very pleasant. Hope you've enjoyed it. 5-star ratings on your podcasts as well, please. And see you for the final word.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.